3 weeks later, the four-man team came ashore on the Murrell Peninsula. They crept into the rock-strewn inlet of a river, so small that nobody had bothered to even give it a name. After weeks banged up in a nuclear sub sailing at flank speed, with only one trip to the surface to pick up an airdrop, even this hole was a welcome sight. The airdrop had delivered the kind of kit the huge military store in Gibraltar had been unable to provide. That was one of the joys of being a badged trooper. The head shed never stinted you when it came to equipment. It was help yourself and sign here. Their task had been outlined to them by the SAS liaison officer. They knew what they had to do and had chosen accordingly. As well as standard requirements, they'd added pre-prepared cam netting that they had woven onto chicken wire, secateurs for cutting, two pocket scopes, plus high-power binoculars were added for long-range observation. Weaponry included a GMPG and 1,000 rounds of ammo, plus their own personal weapons. Individual choice was allowed, but each man, when selecting what to take along, had to consider the needs of both himself and the patrol. And it all had to be carried. What they were engaged on was non-aggressive, but within that set of parameters, they had to be able to hold their own in a fight. The four men had thought it through and given themselves every option that they could think of to make the recce a success. The pallet dropped from the Hercules had provided some very pleasant surprises. The latest cold weather clothing, duvet jackets, and new on the market Gore-Tex trousers, admired in shops and catalogues, but not easily affordable. There was a whole pile of the latest American kit, a brand new SATCOM telephone link, improved night sights and spare batteries to fuel them, two M203 armour lights with 40mm underslung grenade launchers, giving a lot of firepower at a low weight. The attached condoms were only a joke because of the note that came with them. It read, "For four of the biggest pricks I know," and was signed Clarkey. HMS Scylla was a Swiftsure class SSN, 4,500 tons, capable of 30 knots submerged. It carried a crew of 116, accommodated in a space that would have been cramped for two-thirds of that number. The addition of four pongos using up bed space, doing press-ups in the gangway, was not greeted with glee. A big boat, Scylla needed a lot of water under her keel. She wasn't designed for close work inshore. And in an area where the enemy had complete air superiority, running on the surface was risky, even in the dark. Safety for a nuclear sub lay in deep water. The skipper, after long discussions with Fleet HQ in Northwood, agreed to run in only far enough to make a landing possible. That meant inside an arc of 10 miles. It was his call as to time and place. He would surface and open his deck hatches only if the conditions justified it, and there was no risk of water from a heavy sea getting into his boat. That left the four-man patrol with one bugger of a trip in the Gemini. Especially using 40 HP Johnston outboards, engines that were well prone to break down. The air temperature had a hint of ice in it, made colder still by the stiff breeze. They'd come to the surface under a bank of heavy black clouds, tinged with silver, where a strong moon illuminated the edges.